Morning, church. Good to see you. You got dug out this week. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I wanted to read you something in James before I go any farther here, because I take it serious if I stand up here to preach, and if you teach or if you preach. James puts it in perspective for us, brothers and sisters. In James 3:1, it says this: "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Somebody that preaches and somebody that teaches, what that's telling you, if you go out and you study out what it's talking about, is, you know what? You better preach and you better teach the way the Bible, what God wants you to preach and teach. Not your opinions. And sometimes, you know, we have opinions. Don't get me wrong. We let our opinions go. But, you know, whenever I stand before God one day, as a preacher, and as you stand before God as a teacher, you're going to be judged differently. And if you study James, that's what he's trying to say. For what you preach and for what you teach. So I take it serious. I want you to understand that wholeheartedly. I try to go out and study the Greek. I try to go out and study Hebrew. I try to go out and study the history of why this is the belief and why that. I try to go out and study all that, and I try to pull it all together. That's where I come to my conclusions is. I just don't, and I know you guys don't do this, I just don't grab certain things and then run with it. Because if you do that, one day you're going to stand before a just God and you're going to have to give an account for it. And if you're a preacher, teacher, you're going to give more of an account for it. But anyway, I want today, I know we're starting into the new year, I want to deal with putting on the armor of God and everything that we have to do for this upcoming year. And why I say that is, I'm not going to get into each one of them today. I don't think so. What God has given me is, I want to lay the foundation for why He wants us to put on the whole armor of God as Christians. And so, if you would, I'm going to be in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read the 10th through the 12th verse. And then I'm going to go from there, and we'll, if you would, let's stand in honor of God, if you're able to this morning. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." A lot there, is there? And this helps lay the foundation for the rest of what we're going to talk about, probably, Lord willing, next week. But I just want to get into what we're saying here this morning. Okay, let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come, Lord, and give You the thanks and give You the glory for it, Lord. I praise You. I truly praise You this morning. You are a good God. You have blessed. You've done so much in our lives, Lord, and I just praise You for it all. Lord, I ask You, Lord, to be with every heart in here this morning. I pray that You would open up their minds, open up their hearts this morning. And Father, I pray most of all, Lord, that You would get me out of the way, Lord. And Father, that You would anoint my lips this morning. And Father, that the word would go out the way that You would have it. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you. All right, beginning out here, Paul's saying, starting in verse 9, he says this: "Finally," you read him say, he said, "Finally, my brethren," is what he's saying. Let's get to the most, what he's trying to say there is, let's get to the most important part of this letter that I've written. Now, why I say that for is this in itself is an amazing statement if you go back and study this, because if you study the book of Ephesians, there is so much in the book of Ephesians from the first chapter right up to the second. And Paul's saying, "Finally, brethren, let's get to the most important part." And that's what he's trying to say. Ephesians 1 deals with predestination. If you go out there and look at Ephesians 2 talks about mercy and the grace of God. Ephesians 3 deals with the eternal plan of God concerning the church and the love Christ has for the church. If you go to Ephesians 4, which tells you about the fivefold ministries of the church, which is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, And also, and if you look at chapter 4, to say that the Ephesian church was having problems would be an understatement. If you read down through Ephesians chapter 4, you look, you see people being deceived, believing every other teaching besides that they're being saved with. It goes on to say they were grieving the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say that there was malice in the church toward one another. There was gossiping and backbiting among the members. They were dealing with lasciviousness, greed, lust, lying, and stealing. Man alive, that's a lot. If you read chapter 4, Paul, the Ephesian church was dealing with that. It was a mess. Then Ephesians 5 deals with Christians being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the first part of Ephesians chapter 6, he deals with personal relationships among the Christians. That's a lot to deal with. But Greg, he says, finally, brethren, after all that, I want to get to the really important part. I want to talk to you about something that's really important. He says, finally, brethren, he said, finally, there's after all that I've dealt with, I want you to understand something. This is what the important part is. Paul's telling Ephesians, if you don't remember anything else about what I've written this letter to you about, I want you to remember the last part of chapter 6, because it's that important to you. What I'm about to tell you is important. Finally, my brethren, do you know what the word brethren means? It's Adelphios is what it means in the Greek. And here's what it means. It means a comrade in battle. That's what it means. It means a comrade in battle. We're in this together. We're not in this separately. We're not in this for our own thing. He's wanting us to put on the whole armor of God because we are comrades in battle. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Listen, we use it for different things, and it can be used to that. But the point is, whenever you see this, he's trying to tell you, we are comrades in battle. We are fellow fighters. Fellow fighters for the cause of Christ. That's what he wants us to know. They may be struggling. There's people, I can guarantee you, in this church this morning that have struggled or maybe are struggling this morning. But praise God, you know what he's telling us? He said, listen, stay in the battle because there's people in here that'll go to war with you. Stay in the battle. That's what he's saying. Sure, they may be struggling, but praise God. Listen to me. They're still in the battle. When you see brethren in the New Testament, that's what it's meaning. That's what it's meaning. Finally, my comrades, to the most important thing I want to talk to you about, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong is a command. That's what it is. That's what it's telling them. That is a command for every born-again believer. Be strong. And much more than that, the word strong means this, which means a supernatural indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about when it's saying, be strong. If you look at it, it's what it's telling you. This goes back to Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It has been put into every born-again believer on the day that you are saved. The Holy Ghost comes into you. That is the power. That is how we are strong in the power of the Lord. That's how it is. Paul's telling us God made us to be containers. Raise your hand in here if you're a Christian this morning. You are a container of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what you are. You are a container. Listen, and what he's saying to us is, he said, we are supernaturally filled and we are supernaturally transformed. Therefore, if there be any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I don't know about you, but I've said this in here quite a bit before. But whenever I got saved, things changed in my life. Yeah, I may have looked the same. I may have dressed the same. But you know what? Things changed on the inside. Things changed. I didn't believe the things I used to believe. I didn't act the way that I used to act. Praise God. I change. Behold, all things become new. It doesn't matter what you were before the Holy Spirit transformed you. What matters is what happened after you were born again. Is Jesus Christ living within your heart? Is the Holy Spirit within you, is it beating in your veins? And it goes on to say, be strong in the Lord. Why? What is saying? This transformational power only comes and can be only be imputed into us be through the Lord Jesus Christ saving our souls. Jesus said in John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, then that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It cannot come from you coming to church. It cannot come from what doctrine you believe. It does not come from how intelligent you are. It comes because Jesus Christ, you accept him as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life. That's the supernatural indwelling. Listen, I think this sometimes we, you know, it is people talk about, you know what, how the demon possessed. Well, you know what? When you get saved, it's Holy Ghost possessed. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And make no mistake about it. And I say this quite a bit because I want you to understand that. Without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. That's not me saying that. That is the Scriptures that says that. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning and do not know what the Holy Ghost is, I encourage you to get saved. Because you'll know what the Holy Ghost is whenever you're saved. You'll know it. Listen, and it cannot come from... The only way to have this power is to be saved. The only way that you and I can have it. But wait, that's not all. I sound like a Flex Seal commercial, don't I? But wait, that's not all. Listen, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So what's the difference between power and might? This is very interesting. Power means taking something by force. It is a demonstrative power. The power Paul is talking about here always comes with an outward manifestation. The power, what are you talking about, Dave? The power Paul's talking about comes with real results. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Amen. Can I tell you something? Whenever the Spirit of God's within you, it's going to come out. It'll come out. You're going to testify once in a while, right? You're going to want to witness to people once in a while, right? This power of God, that's what it's talking about. It's a manifestation of what's living inside of you. I heard someone say one time, and this is the truth. You know what? What is in you will come out one day. What's living within you, that's what you're going to talk about. That's what you're going to live for. What's living within you? That's what's going to be what you have your desires are for. Can I tell you this morning, if you're born again, you know what your desires are going to be? It's going to be to serve God, amen, to serve His Son. Listen, I love it. People talk about this morning, you know, and I could feel it in here this morning. You miss not coming to church, right? Sitting at home and watching it on television is okay. I understand that if you have to do that. But there's nothing like getting together with brothers and sisters in Christ, with comrades in Christ. Nothing like it whatsoever. Power means taking something by force. Listen, the power of His might. Listen, what it's saying there, whose might? God's might, the one who is able. Listen, we have the Spirit and we can do those things because God is able to do all things and we are part with Him. We are part of His children. We are one of His. That's where it comes from. I can do all things through Dave, through Larry, through Greg, through Ken, through Jamie. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's it. That's it. And the power of the indwelling of the Spirit connects us with God. Listen, there's something to be said with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit reading the Word of God. There's something to be said with the indwelling of the power of God whenever you get on your knees to pray. There's something to be said for someone who testifies with this power of God and the Holy Spirit giving them a testimony. There's something to be said for all that. Why? Because you're connecting to the Father who has given that to you and the power of His might. As you read the rest of this chapter, he's talking about the armor of God. The Roman armor that Paul was comparing it to weighed about 60 pounds. Fully dressed, that's what they carried around whenever they had their armor on them. A weak individual couldn't wear it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, brother said, we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord. We can't be weak. We can't be weak and expect to put on the whole armor of God and see the results that we need. Listen, we need to be strong in the power of the Lord, not weak. And he said, listen, a weak individual cannot wear it. A weak individual could not run with it, could not function in it. And can I tell you something? A weak individual could not fight in it. There's times in my life, brothers and sisters, where I'll admit, I've been weak. Weak in my faith. And you know what? The battle that I fought, listen, I tried to fight it on my own. Brothers and sisters, it don't work. Be strong in the Lord. Listen, whatever you're facing, whatever's coming your way, whatever comes my way, listen to me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let Him be the one to handle what's coming down the pike. Let Him be that one, because I guarantee you, if you live long enough in this world, troubles and trials will come your way. And brothers, we need the power of His might. Amen. Not our own. Not our own. You will need the divine power to carry the armor of God and to fight the good fight. You're going to need that. Paul knew before he even started in describing each piece of armor. He said he knew that the child of God needed to be spiritually fit. I can't answer that for you here this morning. I can't answer that this morning. Everybody in here knows where you stand with God right now this morning. I'm not going to tell you you're lost. I'm not going to say that. You may be here this morning, and you may be in the battle of your life, and it may be preparing, bringing you down spiritually. But brothers, we do not have to stay there. We do not have to stay there because we serve a God. We serve a God that can do above and beyond what we think and what we believe sometimes. Paul knew it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. God is strong, and He wants us to be strong before we put on any of the armor the Master has set out for us. Now, therefore, go to 2 Corinthians 10:4. I want you to turn there for a minute, too. As I go on, I'm trying to lay the foundation for the armor. And I want to go into every piece of it next week. But if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 10:4 right now. Say amen when you get there, please. Amen. All right. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what warfare means? It's a well-planned strategy or a method. God not only gives us the weapons to fight with, can I tell you something? God will give us a strategy whereby we can use them with. Amen? He'll do that. When God puts a strategy, it may not make sense in the natural world. I mean, we don't know how this strategy will take hold. But can I tell you something? Whenever you put God's weaponry and His strategy together, I'm telling you, there's not anything that can stand against that. When you put on the armor of God in concert with God's strategy, it's amazing what things can happen. But God moments happen. Those but God moments happen. We've seen it around here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Mighty means explosive power. Can I tell you something about this here? When it goes down there and it talks about, because the Lord had just showed me casting down imaginations. How many of you know in here that your mind is a very strong thing? And that your mind can do things and can tear you down. And the point of it is, it says there, casting down. He said, listen, let me read it again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything. It didn't say some things. Because brother said, we can let our minds tell us and have us to do what some things and convince us of things that, you know what, aren't what God wants us to do. We can do that. He's saying, have everything into subjection to His knowledge. How do we do it? Well, you don't do it from reading the Parkersburg News and Sentinel. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But brother said, when I want something for my soul, I don't go to the USA Today to get it. Right. Yeah. Amen? I don't go to the New York Times. I don't go to all this stuff out there. What I do is I go to the Word of God. Because the more that I put the knowledge of God in my mind, Rosetta, the more that the things of the devil can't get stuff in there. We want to be able to put on the whole armor of God. Listen, we cannot be weaklings when it comes to this. Mighty, explosive power through God. This is not us. This has nothing to do with our power. It has everything to do with His power. Pulling down says, when it says pulling down those strongholds, you know what it means, Laura? It's talking about taking, if you have to, bit by bit by bit. Tearing it out there. Because sometimes, you know what? It takes us growing a little bit. It takes us sometimes, you know, we have an issue. And you know what? Sometimes it just doesn't go away right now. But you know what? Bit by bit, as we get into God's Word, demolish it. Tear it down. Get that stronghold out of the way. Get it out of there. Get it out of there so it will not affect what God's wanting to use with you. Determination through God to pull down the strongholds. Holds in your life. Even if it is a little bit at a time. How determined are you in 2025 to serve God more and more and more? I say this a lot, and I mean it, I know, and I do mean this. There's no standing still in serving God. There's not. I believe we have to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. And I believe that come 2026, if the Lord still allows us to be here, I believe we should be stronger in His might and in the power of His Word. Amen. Strong. A stronghold is when the devil is allowed to control the way you believe. Just to put it simply. This is why verse 5 says, casting down all the imaginations. Imagination is the ability to form mental ideas. That's what imagination is. That's what it is. And believe you me, there have been times in my life I've allowed the devil to form imaginary things in my life. Well, you know what? This brother or sister doesn't like me. this person here doesn't like me. I don't want to do this because it's this way with me. This way. Listen. We can form these things in our minds, and they have no basis of truth. But the devil will make it sound like it's truth to you. He said, "Cast them down. Get this stuff out of there." That's why. For Ephesians 6:14 to be full effect, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to get strong, hold on, demolish the things, nothing left standing, so we can grow. Folks, if we're going to listen to the devil, are we going to try to listen to God in 2025? Just seriously. And I know sometimes whenever a preacher preaches, he's preaching at himself. But you know what? Can I lay it at your feet this morning as well? Can I do that? You know, 2025, we want to put on the whole armor of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Who do you listen to will become your reality. What you listen to, who you listen to. The devil knows that every bit of doubt he can shove in your mind, that's every bit of the Word of God that he can push out of there. I mean, that's true. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not worldly. That, right? Listen, there's lots of, thank God for counselors, thank God for all that stuff, you know, that help people. But can I tell you something? When it gets right down to it, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen? Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons are what God is giving us. That's what he's given us. I didn't want to go too much deeper, but next week, Lord willing, I want to get into every one of these pieces of armor, every one of these pieces. I want to go over them, and I think maybe you might see some things maybe you haven't seen before in this, if the Lord allows me to get it, come out with it. But can I tell you this morning, 2025's here. Let's prepare ourselves to put on the whole armor of God. You know, as I read it, there's one offensive weapon we have. Greg's holding it right there in his hands. And everyone has it. And that's our Bibles. That's our offensive weapon. But praise God, we're going to get into that next week. Anybody else this morning? If they come, if they get a song here this morning, Julie. If you have a need this morning, I beg you. You know, I beg you, come this morning. Come up here and let's let God have it. Give it to him this morning. If you have a stronghold in your life this morning, if you have those imaginary things in your life this morning that are tearing at you, let's come up here and give it to the Lord this morning.